Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, this sucks.
What sucks, Kenny?
Hey, you know what sucks.
What sucks?
I mean, being in a 2-2 series. I was manning the grill on Saturday. That's all I got to say. I'm not a big like barbecue guy. I'm not one of those guys that sit there and talk about finishing temp and all that other crap.
You wake up at 7 in the morning
on
Saturday?
No, not. I don't need to stand there and be all overweight and sweat over a smoker or something like that. We're done. But I had to, you know, I had to cook all the burgers and stuff for my son's birthday. And, you know, we had some friends over, stuff like that. And I walk out. And they're consistently up by 7. They're consistently up by that. And I go, well, you know, the third. And I sit there with my father and I go, well, the third quarter, you know, that's what happens. It's the way it goes. And because I said, well, it's the third quarter. You know what happens. It's the way it goes. That was halftime. I didn't think I would go outside, come back in. And I mean, they were up by 7. It felt like it came back in 3 minutes. They were down by 7. And then it was off to the races. And it just kind of cast a pall over the room. So, yeah, Jonah's birthday was kind of ruined.
As well as all the early birthdays should be. It sets the tone.
Yeah, as well as it should. It absolutely should. So that sucked. And it's a 2-2 series. And I went, thank God I left my phone downstairs in my office because I don't need to be looking at social media right now and seeing the reaction to it. Not that anybody would be wrong. I'm not saying it. It just would have made a bad day worse. That's all it would have been. Not that you would have been wrong. You more than likely would have been right. But I didn't want to look at any of it. I didn't see any of it. I'm sure it was vitriolic to say the least. What was your take on that game? Because I think we're a little worried now. A little worried. I don't know if we're in... See, I don't know what... They put me in an untenable situation because I don't know if I want to sit there and say, we're in trouble and all this... But, man, you go down there and you get hammered like that 2 games in a row. That ain't very good.
Well, I'll tell you.
That ain't very good at all.
My reaction was
tone,
not,
damn it.
Yeah, I think my reaction was not all that dissimilar from everybody else, which was baffled, like how you go from dominating the first 2 games to getting dominated worse in the next 2 games. Like, it's one thing that, you know, these teams that are inexperienced, don't have a ton of playoff experience, you're going to play better. Especially the role players are going to play better at home than they do on the road. But to that extent, like this Magic team who's never been there before, you're going to get humiliated in that way. And then it's getting worse. And the crazy thing is, in game 4, you came out and you were up 9. You scored 60 points in the first half against that amazing defense. I think that at that time, hey, we've calmed things down. We're back to where we are. We're going to be up 3-1. We'll come home and close it out. Nope. The Wagner twins, or the Wagner brothers, I should say, the way that they humbled you, the way that they punched you in the mouth, Then next thing you know, it was Suggs and Garland, and they had a little chit-chat there. They fired each other up, but one team went one direction after that, and the other team went the other direction after that. That was as embarrassed as a Cleveland sports fan as I've been in a long time. I really believe that. Like, that was the, hey, they're all laughing at you. They're all openly mocking you. I rarely have that feeling anymore. I'm not like I was when I was younger. You know, when there was Bottlegate and I thought all the leagues were out to screw the Cleveland teams. Like, I feel like I've matured since then. I've evolved.
I'm older. I got to tell you.
I have kids. I was humiliated that went down.
I really wasn't embarrassed
because
by Bottlegate.
Because of who it was. It was Mo Wagner.
Yeah.
Mo Wagner should never be able to do that to you. And then prance around and laugh at you and taunt you. And all of you were sitting there. And the only two guys that could do anything about it are Tristan Thompson and Marcus Morris, and they're just sitting there like best buddies on the bench as if they were not allowed to ever come into the game.
I wasn't embarrassed by Bottlegate, for the record. I don't know if they've done it with such volume, but I go, well, you went back, you reversed a call. I've never seen anything like that in a game, and they were upset with the refs. And,
no, I was using that
I wasn't embarrassed.
I was using that as the opposite
for the
example.
Record. Okay.
I'm saying back then.
Yeah, I get
back then, like now it's like, hey, you're not supposed to throw things on the field. Back then, I would have thrown things on the field.
Okay, that's I can understand.
I would have thrown worse things than Bob. I would have thrown much worse things if I had them at
that
time.
That was what they did. The old stadium, they did throw worse things than bottles. So, you have to take that into account. So, maybe Carmen Policy had a point there. Anywho, I agree with you. I thought it was, it really did. It just cast a weird vibe over the room. To anybody who can't, like, my wife doesn't care about basketball or anything like that. So her and her friend was like, whatever. But I'm just kind of sitting there going, this is, This doesn't feel good here. This whole thing of, everybody was going after the Wagners and how bad they were and how ugly this was going to get and how they are their enemy number one, and we're just beating the brakes off them. They looked unplayable for a certain stretch, and then exactly what you just said, it's a very ugly situation. The look of panic on JB Bickerstaff's face, it's going to be something that I don't miss, I'll tell you that. But it's also, like, Lima, we have to answer for some of the things that we've said here over the first couple of games of the series. Like, we were saying, sweet. We already had a 7-game series in our heads, dancing in our heads against the Boston Celtics. There was a lot there. Like there is some real comeuppance here with this Cavs team that, you lose this series, this is as bad as it gets. This is every bit as bad and ugly as it gets. And it feels bad because I'm doing like a rewind of what we did on Friday. Just redoing it over. Now, there's been a day that separated us from Saturday. But to see such a meltdown and then never be able to get yourselves back into it. I thought, because I've never, from LeBron, and I don't remember the last team I saw. And I'm sure there is an example out there. I don't remember the last team I saw that was really good in the third quarter. So I'm kind of used to having just kind of a ho-hum third quarter, but to lay down and die the way it was, and the look on JB Bickerstaff's face made me feel worse because he looked like he was truly concerned about what's going on here. Now, maybe it's Donovan's hurt more than what he's leading on. I don't know. Everybody, if I even mention that, I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch of people saying I'm making excuses for him. I'm just asking questions. I don't think there's any excuse that needs to be made.
I'm telling you, Kenny, this was way worse in Game 3. Game 3 was, all right.
This was worse.
Magic are hitting a lot of shots. I don't normally see them hit. We're missing everything. What else is new? That's been every playoff game under JB and with this core four dating back now for 2 years. You have a larger sample size developing there, which is very alarming, like you said. This was worse than Game 3 because you were up at the half. You had come out swinging. They really did. They came out swinging, and it was like, all right, the normal Cavs are back. Maybe not the 18-2 Cavs from earlier in the year, the Sam Merrill Cavs, maybe not that, but they...
One Mississippi Merrill.
Yeah, they had put their foot down. They're like, all right, we are the better team. This is where the kids can go run away. They're at home, but they're just happy to be here. And nope, you scored 29 points in the third and fourth quarter when that happens in the playoffs. I don't care who you're playing.
Alarming.
I don't care what kind of defense you're going up against, and I don't care what building you're in. When you score 10 and 19 points respectively in the NBA playoffs, you have been shell-shocked. Your psyche is permanently damaged. You are fragile. All the things that people were saying and telling me last week that I said, hey, guys, they'll be fine. They'll come back and win game 4. I was wrong, Everybody that was in my mentions was right. Everybody who went after me, you had every right to. You had no faith in this team. I had built up some faith in the team because I was so impressed by what they were able to do at home and thinking along the way, and we're not even shooting well. Well, now I can't even say that, oh, they'll come out of this. We don't shoot well in the playoffs. That is now a proven fact. This isn't something, and maybe we have one good game here or there, but this is now every game with the exception of one, you've not been able to break 100 points. This is now the rule. It's not the exception. I've seen more. We have more evidence. The numbers are in. This team can't play together. And if you punch them in the mouth, not only do they not respond, they run away. They run away.
Okay, that's...
This is humiliating, Ken. That's where I come up with humiliating.
Problem. That's a total problem here, because for a second I was going, okay, is it a rotation problem? Is it a lineup issue that some people are trying to blame? But you just said, you know, when they get punched in the mouth, there's zero response to it. And so if there's zero response to it, well, then that's the players you have. I can't sit there and blame everything on JB, guys. Like, that's just digging my head in the sand. I can't just say it because
basketball coaches, they've heard us say that.
I understand
that. They know where we stand.
But coaches are the easiest thing to replace when it comes to the NBA. And so if I just say, well, it's all on him, is it all on him if you're getting hit in the mouth like that and you're not responding? I can't say it's all on him.
There's something in your DNA, right?
Veterans.
There's something in your DNA.
Yeah.
There's something. Sometimes you just don't have what you don't have. You know, you're watching Minnesota last night. I mean, Anthony Edwards, there's something in his DNA that guy, you know, he's had bad moments in the play. He had a bad game in the playoffs earlier this year. And look at how he looked like Michael Jordan last night. He's 22. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are guys that just, they're not going to accept that. That's not who they are. That's not in their fabric. When we say DNA, and that sounds like a sports talk thing to say, but guys, you know
it
when you see
it
at every level.
It's the truth.
You either have it or you don't.
There's a culture
when it comes to certain things. There's also a learning curve. There's a learning curve for certain guys. This is year two. The learning has not happened.
There's a culture to it, and I mean, just to get blasted like that is it's such a downer for your fan base. Again, I've tried. You've tried. The entire fan base has tried to see the positivity, to see the strength in it, and they just don't allow you to do it. They don't allow it to happen. So here we are. It's a 2-2 series. I kind of want to know from people, do they think that the Cavs, and I think you were wondering as well, do they really think the Cavs are going to lose this series now? I mean, you had two good ones. You had two bad ones. You're at a 4.5-point favorite coming back tomorrow.
That shocked me. Who told me
so
that?
So you was are that? A favorite. That was Owen.
Owen told me that before the show, and I go, what?
Yeah, you're 4.5-point favorite.
So Vegas is saying this is just whoever's at home is the better team.
See, I want to
like,
know.
They're not worried about rotations. Yeah. They're not worried about shot selection and plays that you run. Vegas is just saying, well, Orlando, all those role players, they are now on the road, and they're going to shrink back.
It's so weird because none of these games have been rather competitive.
We haven't had any situational basketball to talk about.
There's been one competitive half, and that was on Saturday. And that was even, what were the Cavs up by 7 or 9 at the end of that half? I think they were up by 9. And then things just went awry the way they did. You have not had any, you know, out of 4 games, you've had 0 competitive basketball games. And, you know, I want to know, it's not whether or not, there's got to be a separation here from the listeners. Is it, do you think they're going to lose, or do you think they deserve to lose? See, I think that people are very emotional right now, and I think they say that they deserve to lose.
I got a better question.
Okay, go ahead.
I think there are fans that are hoping for them to lose.
And hoping?
This is a very interesting inflection point in the history of the organization. The way that people were responding to me yesterday, they want them put out of their misery because they think if they end up coming back and winning this series, then they will convince themselves
the
that this is okay,
okay,
and that we can run it back. And now we've got our playoff win under our belt. We picked the Magic, and now we will beat the Magic.
Again, the comparisons I make with the football team, it couldn't be more stark. Because, I mean, you're sitting there going, well, if they run it back, go, you said that, and my first thought is, what other choice do they have? What other choice do they have? Like, we brought up picks. You and I argued about picks in the draft over the last month, and I go, guys, they have no other choice. They have to keep throwing assets at what they have with Deshaun Watson, which, by the way, 7 o'clock. Part of the reason I hate draft grades, a very annoying reason over the last 3 years of why I hate draft grades, and I'm bringing that up at 7 o'clock, I promise you that. But, like, I think that we have to understand what other move are they going to make. And you can trade Darius Garland. What am I getting back from him? just because you want him gone. Oh, San Antonio needs this guy. San Antonio. What am I getting back for Darius Garland? Why? And why does San Antonio want to stick him with Wemby? Is that going to make that much sense? Maybe it will. Maybe it will for San Antonio. Good. But here we are talking trades of Darius Garland halfway through a series right now. And a series that was uncompetitive at the very beginning, and then we thought we were going to cruise through, and then here it is. If they lose this series, yeah, there could be very well major changes, and it could be, it will be an abject embarrassment. I think Kobe Altman's job's on the line and certainly should be on the line if that were the case, because it's an entire culture where they picked it. Obviously, J.B. Bickerstaff would be gone, but you have a lot of questions to have about all these other players, and I'm thinking, what other choice do I have? Like, if they win this series, oh, they're going to run it back. I don't have a first-round pick next year. I have a player that a lot of us were excited about, Evan Mobley, and it just depends on, you know, where the wind blows sometimes. If it's in the eye of the beholder, whether or not he's taking steps in growing as a basketball player. And the second half of the season when he came back, I mean, here I am going into the minutiae again of growing a basketball player in a playoff series. So, I mean, we all know where it is. We all know what this is. So if you don't run it back, I mean, you're talking about more bitter, frustrating, building lottery picks, and you don't even have a first-round pick next year because of the stepping rule. And your pick this year ain't going to be that high. So you're kind of stuck. And then the guy that not a lot of people trust, he's going to be the one doing the scouting for the player that you're going to pick in the first round. So we're kind of in a rock and a hard place. 216-474-0092. All right, there is a separation here. If you think the Cavaliers are going to lose the series, fine. I'll tell you what I think when we come back. I'll tell you, I think Tone's going to tell him what he thinks when we come back. You got to separate whether you want them to lose or they deserve to lose from whether you think they're going to lose. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, Pete Thompson, Mike Hall's high school football head coach at Streetsboro, 640 on the Fan. I still don't think they're going to lose the series. I can't bring myself to say it, and it's not where it's, I'm thinking it, I won't say it. I still don't believe they're going to lose the series. They are a front-running team, certainly. I still am worried about their overall culture, but that's off-season stuff. I don't think they're going to lose this series. You might hate hearing that. You might not like that because then it's, well, they could run it back. But again, I don't know if they have any other choice, but that's a conversation we could have, later on. But I don't think they're going to, I still don't think they're going to lose the series. Do they deserve so? I don't know. I think Orlando's a good enough team as well. I don't think they necessarily deserve it. I don't know if, whoever wins, it's going to deserve to win it. We're just not as good as we thought we were. This build-up, this six-year build has just been to this level, which isn't that great. It's not that great. You are a middle-of-the-road Eastern Conference team, which I don't know where that puts you overall. Probably not too terribly great, but that's probably what you are. So I don't think they're going to lose the series, though. Every time I've said that they're going to lose, that they're going to be this, they're going to be that, they come back, they do it. I don't think they're going to lose. Now, you can separate and say they deserve it if you want to make that argument, but I don't think they are. Go ahead.
But we're sitting here talking about, all right, best of three. You know, we're sitting here trying to analyze a series that has had four blowouts, and the two latest ones, the two most recent ones, obviously came, with us on the wrong end of it. So I understand, like, if everybody just calls up today and says, especially to someone like me who said they're going to sweep, I get it. If everybody wants to call up today and say they're going to lose a series, the body language is terrible. JB has lost the team. I know we have some audio on that at some point from somebody who is following the series very closely. Yeah, I can't disagree now. I can't make a big, bold claim for the Cavs, except to say that it's looked different depending on who's at home. But, is there a lever to pull? Is there anything JB can do rotationally that changes the whole series? I really don't think so. I mean, I can make a case to put Marcus Morris in the starting lineup to give them more length. But, that's not going to help their spacing. So no matter what you do, it's going to come at a cost. That is the problem with the roster construction as we see it right now. I didn't think it would come down to this. I just thought we had the better players in the series. We had more scoring punch, and that was going to be enough to lift the team against an inexperienced team that didn't have home court. And now they still don't have home court. I mean, still the Cavs have home court. You have two out of the next three at home. I'm hoping we get to have a chance to either end this after six or come back home for seven.
216-474-0092. Do you think the Cavs are going to lose this series right now? Robert in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I think they're going to win the series. But I also don't want them to win the series because it's just going to be the same old everything. You know, Anthony, you know, if this is a playground, we're on a playground, and you got to pick your starting five, four out of the five guys would be Cavs, and probably the sixth guy would be a Cav. And I'm tired. Like, Allen, you got punched in the face again. And again, we back down. And that's not what we're like in this town. And we're going to do just enough.
But you think Allen? You think Allen has been the
no? I don't. No, no. I don't think that. All I'm saying is that when we got punched in the face twice in Orlando, and nobody. I'm just like he.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The one who said the last couple of weeks that things are different and that, you know, this isn't last year, but you know, we just laid down like that. We just laid down and let them do this. There was no fight in either of these games. Zero. And you know, Ken, you're right. JB just looks lost at times. And it's really not totally his fault because this team is constructed horribly. Horribly.
Well, I think I saw him and I noticed this. You know, there were timeouts in the fourth quarter and you could see the look on his face. I think he just was like, I don't know what to do with these guys. I know if they're not going to fight for it, you know, what the hell are we going to do? Now, you could take Strus out if you want to take Strus out. I'm not sure. But it is, like, I'm not going to yell at you for that. Like, do you want them to lose the series because you want them to make sure that they make necessary changes?
Yes.
Is that it?
If we beat Orlando, it's going to just be the same old, same old. And I don't think Chloe Altman gets enough criticism here. He's the architect of this. And it's horribly constructed.
He should get a lot more criticism than what
he doesn't. He gets a pass. And I think he gets a pass because he doesn't speak to the press. Dan never says a thing about him. And he just totally – everybody think go back from his time here when he was assistant GM. Everything came up roses. And he gets a pass. And JB's going to be the fall guy here. They'll keep Kobe. And they're gonna, they have no choice but to keep this the way it is. And it's going to be horrible.
Robert, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. I can't take umbrage. Like, I want the Cavs to win the series. I think, honestly, go ahead.
I appreciate the honesty. I would have crushed that call a week ago.
Yeah.
I would have been so frustrated because I wanted to get excited about the playoffs, and I was. I am excited. Unfortunately, it's about the NBA playoffs now. It's not about the Cavs series anymore.
But I think for Robert, though, if this game goes like what Nick said last week, he wants it to go seven so they can get as much experience before they play Boston. You and I looked at that and went, no. But I think if it goes seven and say you win the series, I think you win the series and there's like, hey, there's warts here. Some things need to be fixed. I don't think you can. If you would have swept the Orlando Magic, yeah, man, maybe they would have just ran it back depending on what happens against Boston. Of course, I don't know. They are as Jekyll and Hyde as it gets. But I think if you go seven now, you win the series, or say you even win it in six, there's going to be some ugliness here where you're going, something ain't right. Something needs to change. I don't know what it is, whether it be in the rotation, the lineups, whatever, the coach, the general manager, whatever it is. There's going to be the needed changes that happen with this basketball team. JJ in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay. Go ahead.
First off, I'm going to start by saying the last two games was just, it's embarrassing. You know, to be a Cavs fan and watch a team that's supposed to dominate, you know, maybe a little less fight, you know, zero fight in these two games. It's ridiculous watching them. They up seven, then you just go to the refrigerator and come back and they down 12.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like you say, it win or lose, something got to give. It got to be somebody got to go or some players got to go. I mean, at this point, you know, Donovan, he can go. Because, I mean, him and Darius Garland, 5 points in a game, in a playoff game, it's ridiculous. Y'all getting paid top dollar to get out there and perform, and you come out at halftime with a lead, right?
You know,
y'all not even there.
I'm seeing that sentiment and hearing that sentiment more and more, JJ. Thank you very much for the call. Like I did. I did. I got back and – you know, when we got done with all the get-together and things like that, I went downstairs, I finally got my phone, and I looked, there were some people going, you know, if he can't get this thing going, what the hell are we doing all this for then? Like, there were some people kind of, instead of begging him to stay, there were a couple of people, and again, this is right in the afterglow of another embarrassing loss, but there were some people going, like, I'll help you pack your bags if this is going to be this way.
Without a doubt.
Which I think is some strong language, but still.
I definitely noticed that, and it wasn't the majority, but there was a growing sentiment that Donovan can't get it done in the playoffs. And, you know, I think part of that is unfair because he had one of the great playoff series like we've seen from an individual superstar. Granted, it was in the bubble. He's had other good moments. I know you're shaking your head because people just, you know, that just isn't going to count for people. And I get it, especially Cavs fans.
It's starting to lose luster with me.
Right.
It's been 3 years.
But I can tell you that if the Cavs are selling, there are teams lining up to take him.
I know.
Now,
I know.
We can have a debate about whether he can be the best player on a team. You know, it could be like Kyrie, be a number two guy. Donovan Mitchell
That's
is a
I'm
number
saying.
Two.
That's what I'm saying.
That doesn't help. That just understanding or acknowledging that fact, that doesn't make the Cavs any better.
No.
I mean, just trading Donovan Mitchell just to trade him isn't going to make the team better.
You're right.
Of course, it's out of our hands. Also, if he doesn't want to sign here, you're going to trade him.
Yeah. But, like, that's – if we keep mentioning – man, he had that great playoff series 3 years ago. He had that – it was in the bubble. Like, the whole deal there, like, how much do I hold on to that before I go, hey, buddy, you're number two. You're not one of the one percenters.
I mean, it's definitely looking like he's a number two.
Yeah.
And the hope was that Evan Mobley would be – a player that could be a number one.
He's not yet ready yet.
And it doesn't even look like he's close to being that anytime soon.
Alvis in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning, Alvis. Go ahead.
Man, I don't know what to say about these Cavs, man. All I can say for real is, man, Donovan, he's a good player, but if you think back to Utah, he did the same thing. He really didn't show up in Utah. J.B. Bickerstaff, he's scared to rotate the players. Like, if you got these players on your squad, when everybody was hurt and they went 18-2, he went with the bench. He got to figure out something. He got a championship guy in Tristan Thompson, you know, which he can crash the boards. You got Marquise Morris. I mean, he has some players. He's just not rotating the players. And the starters, he's leaving the starters in the game down at a whole quarter. So they're gassed. Like, J.B. Bickerstaff, he looked confused, like you guys said. He's looking confused, like he just don't know what to do. They don't run no
plays. He was
pressing
all the right buttons, Alvis, in the first two games. And, man, I looked on Saturday, I go, he looks like he's out of options. He looks exasperated.
They're not running no plays, and they're living and dying by the three-point. Why is Evan Mobley just keep wanting to shoot threes?
They should be feeding him and Jared Allen.
I mean, they only took 17 threes in that game. I mean, to say they're living and dying, I'd
Thomas,
argue
I got to run. Thank you very much for the call.
I'd argue they're not taking enough three. I mean, 17 threes. Well, and Darius Garland took 5 in that game. Donovan Mitchell took 4. Strus only took 3. Listen, I've said a lot of bad things about Max Strus and his shooting over the years, but if he's only going to take 3 threes, then he doesn't belong on the floor. I mean, there's no reason. He is supposed to be a high-volume shooter because of what that's supposed to open up. If he's only going to take 3 threes, and I mean, I get it. He's been abysmal, but he's going to have to turn this around. Like, I'd go so far as to say, like, he might be the X factor going forward. He might be exactly what they need.
We're going to get back to this coming up in a bit. But you know what you would have seen yesterday on my street, Tone?
What's that?
It's 80 degrees, a bunch of kids playing in the cul-de-sac. I know. Congratulations on the success. I'm going to beat you to it. You know what else you would have saw? Bunch of rocket flags out there on the front porches. You know why? Because Mike Hall Jr. is a Cleveland Brown, and we have his high school football coach, Pete Thompson, to talk about Mike Hall Jr., local guy being drafted to your Cleveland Browns on Friday. He joins us next on The Fan. Okay, the chances still are very slim that the local guy actually gets taken. So when his name came across the board, I was just looking at the TV going, oh my God, because we did. Like, Gibby in the other room, the producer, he knew what was going to happen before. So he was stone-faced, and we're all looking around because we didn't want to give it away. We didn't want to have any, like, anybody accidentally tip it off. So we were looking at the TV, and when Mike Hall Jr.'s name goes across the board, we're going, oh, my God, they took him. I can't believe they took him. We had Catherine Rayshin, who she was excited. Jim Schwartz was excited as he walked down the hallway. I'll tell you more of the background story coming up here in a bit because it's actually kind of cool. But I had to get on the phone. I had to text his coach because Mike Hall went to Streetsboro. The town was bustling over the weekend. Everybody in town, very exciting. Everybody at Jim's kitchen was probably losing it on Saturday morning. I mean, a whole big thing. And to talk about Mike Hall and his future with the Cleveland Browns, as well as a little bit of his past, because he's from, of course, Streetsboro, Ohio. Spent a year at Benedictine, came to Streetsboro. There he's a rocket. His high school football coach joins us on the show right now. Pete Thompson, head coach of Streetsboro High School, joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, no problem, fellas. Thanks for having me.
So what was your thoughts when you first saw that he was getting drafted by the Browns?
Much like I got a chance to see the video of you and the shock on your face, Kenny. It was similar. You know, I had a few people over at my house. My younger brother kind of went through the roof. He jumped through the roof in my basement and might have spilled his beer. But he was going crazy and it was just kind of a shock. Quite frankly, like, you know, a lot of teams had called me and contacted me through the draft process and done a lot of background. And I'd kind of predicted to my coaches and friends and family, I thought there was 3 teams probably that would take him in the late second, early third. And the Browns were not one of those. They didn't do a tremendous, obviously being local. I think they had other avenues that they could get background info on him. But, I kind of thought the Texans, they had two second-round picks. I kind of thought the Texans or the Rams. I know the Rams took a defensive tackle earlier. So, the way the board started to fall there, I was like, but there was still some shock that he's going to be able to play, in his backyard.
But that's so interesting because, obviously, you are local. You would love the story of the kid coming home. Like, what would you say to certain teams? What a unique circumstance that would be for a local coach. Like, would you ever lie about a player just to make sure that a guy has a chance to stay home? Like, what would you do?
No, I don't think, you have to, it's the same thing with the recruiting process collegiately. You never want to lie to coaches because, you lose that credibility. I don't know when our next NFL player may be. At Streetsboro, since Mike was the first ever to get drafted, but in the coaching profession, there is that sense of confidentiality and just honesty. But there wasn't anything bad necessarily that I could report on the kid. For us, he was not a problem at all for us. So but that was a cool process talking to some of those NFL front office guys.
Coach Pete Thompson.
Last couple months.
Yeah, Coach Pete Thompson joining us right now on the hotline. So what are the Browns getting? You're someone who has a unique relationship with this player. Fans here, especially Buckeye fans that are Browns fans, all excited because we had a chance to watch him. He's never really been full time. He had that annoying injury with the shoulder that, you know, he didn't talk a lot about that. That certainly impacted one of his years. What are the Browns getting?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're getting someone who is, you know, athletically, you know, he's kind of unique there. You know, a kid who could, you know, he's 290 pounds, runs a 4.7. His get off is even more explosive than that. I think his 10-yard split was, you know, akin to some running backs. So you're getting somebody who is, you know, I think he's a great fit for what Coach Schwartz wants to do. You know, I actually had the opportunity 2 weeks ago. Jim Schwartz was a keynote speaker at the Ohio State Coaches Clinic, and, you know, talked philosophically about, you know, what he wants in a defense overall, but the defensive line, and it just, you know, obviously with, you know, Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and some of the pressure they were able to put on last year, but now adding somebody on the interior, I think, you know, coming right in, you know, it certainly on passing downs, he's going to give the Browns a new element there as a three tech or even in there as the one tech and just collapsing that pocket.
Pete Thompson joining us on the show, Streetsboro head coach, who was Mike Hall's coach when he was in high school at Streetsboro High School. So he's only 20 years old, and I immediately thought of David Njoku, where David came in and he was happy-go-lucky. A lot of things changed. You know, he asked for a trade twice, and here he is 7 years later, and he is maybe one of the most – he's got to be one of the most beloved Browns with the fan base since 1999. I mean, everybody loves him. And I look at Mike, and he's 20 years old. He's still local. Like, how much of a role do you and does everybody play with him in his maturation process here that he's local and he can still be around you guys?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's got a, you know, beyond his, you know, he's got his mom and his older brother here. You know, he recently had a child, so he's a father now. So, you know, as you guys know, I mean, that matures you as you have your own kids. But, yeah, he's got, you know, a support network here in town. I texted him again last night that, you know, anything that he, you know, he's going to, you know, be a millionaire now when he signs that contract, but I still text him, you know, anything you need, man, we're always here for you. And he's a yes sir, no sir type of kid with our coaches still, when we contact him. So, you know, it's awesome. You know, there's that comfort level for him being able to stay here. You know, that can also be a curse for some guys, as well. You know, there's some dangers for some guys. You know, you live in your hometown and you know everybody and there are more distractions, so forth. And hopefully I don't think that's going to be the case for him, but, certainly it allows, you know, his mom, Linda is awesome. And, it allows her to be, you know, more involved in his life and just have that support network here is, as you said, he's 20 years old. I don't know that he's ever actually lived on his own. Yeah, and then it has been. It's neat to see him. You know, he came to us when he was 14 and was immature, and just to see him grow and mature these past 6 years has been awesome.
You know, Chris Ballard, the GM over with the Colts, he got very irritated over the weekend that there were rumors about certain players, and, you know, he kind of lost his mind in talking, which I thought was ironic because a lot of the leaks about certain players do come from teams, and sometimes it's very strategic. We were really surprised when we heard Albert Breer and Dane Brugler say that certain teams did not have, you know, Mike Hall on their charts, on their you know, draftable players list at all. Do you have any reason to believe that that would be the case, that certain teams would say he was undraftable?
To me more, Anthony, I think that was a lot of scheme fit. You look at, I don't think most teams that contacted me, all teams that contacted me, I believe, were based out of a forefront. You know, you look at the NFL now, and I think less than a third of the teams are playing a forefront. And just his measurables, his profile, I don't know. He's not big enough to be a nose in a 3-4, and then he doesn't fit the height profile or length profile to be a defensive end in a 3-4. Even though he played, you know, in Jim Knowles' system down there, at Ohio State, they used him in that role sometimes, but I don't think 3-4 teams really had them had him on their board. So I think that, you know, what he does is his fit is as, you know, an interior guy in a 4-3 system. So I think it was more that than anything. You know, as I said, I was just down at Ohio State again couple weeks ago and talking about him with the coaches, and I never got any negative feedback necessarily from them.
I got to tell you, I kind of got defensive about him last week because I'm going, I have lived in town for going on 5 years now, and I've heard nothing but wonderful things from everybody in town. I couldn't believe any of it. For you, is he your first NFL player, and how much does it mean for you as a coach in your career?
I've been fortunate. You know, I've had I coached at Kenston for a long time, and that's where I still teach at. I'm sitting in my classroom right now. But at Kenston, we've had a couple kids make the NFL here as offensive linemen. Now I was an assistant coach then. As a head coach, this is my first NFL player. And yeah, it's awesome. You know, happy for the kid. It's a, you know, joke amongst our coaches when we knew, you know, Mike was pretty special when he came to us as a sophomore. And, you know, off the record at the time, I told some of the local newspaper reporters, like, this kid could play on Sundays. And so, yeah, but it was a joke amongst our coaches that, listen, don't screw him up. You know, our job was, you know, not screwing him up and just, you know, supporting him and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's great for our program. You know, as I text, you know, I was getting all kinds of congratulatory texts on Friday night. I didn't do much. You know, he had God-given talent when he came to us. So, great for our program. Happy for the city. Hopefully it helps your numbers, Kenny, down there at the youth level.
Oh, please. Yes.
Hopefully a bunch of little kids now in Streetsboro want to be the next Mike Hall. And, yeah.
I'm already going to be bothering him. I'm going to already be bothering him during camp, I promise you.
Got to get the camp going, right?
Coach, I thank you very much for the time. Again, congratulations to you, the program, everybody in the school. It's a wonderful thing. Congratulations to him. And obviously, I'll be talking to you again very soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Coach Pete Thompson from Streetsboro High School.
I love
talking
that.
About
he
Michael.
Goes, I just had to not screw it up. Well, he didn't screw it up.
One little look inside when we come back. And the extremely annoying reason I really hate draft grades this year. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.